Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm speaking with Shireen Chadha tonight. And we're continuing our discussion on overcoming anger. So what makes you angry, and how much does it control your daily life? Shireen, I think it was Confucius that said, an angry man is full of poison. I sense that you agree with Confucius.
Yes, I do.
So what happens when we get angry, and is there a spiritual dimension, is where we kind of had to cut it off last time, that we can use to get centered, to get our equanimity back?
You know, one of the things I was thinking of about anger is my mind, it needs love. But when I get angry, the mind is using a lot of force. But even the mind needs love. And so spiritually speaking is when I change my thought patterns and I feed my mind love, then that force will go away.
So part of that, of preventing or overcoming anger, is really a prevention thing of what you plant in the fertile soil of your mind on a daily basis. So this would mean probably that this relates to our peer groups as well, who we hang out with, who we talk about, politics, religion, society, the youth, the old people, whatever.
Right. You know, what I was thinking is when we think about anger, there's that anger, you know, like the wrath. One of the seven deadly sins, there's that. But there's also secondary forms of anger, like helplessness and fear and jealousy and dislike and conflict.
Irritation
and annoyance, all of these things that happen with people around us.
Are they watered down? Is that watered down anger, or is it just disguised anger?
I feel it's disguised because they can be quite insidious, especially jealousy. It can. It's a very deep-seated, deep-rooted, and as destructive a force as just regular just getting angry.
Right.
And so I was thinking, there's that, and also there is. I'm not angry. I'm having a perfectly all right day. I go into work, and my boss is angry, and I'm getting totally influenced by that.
Right.
And so that's also a secondary form of anger. And
so
you know,
it's
like
contagious of sorts.
Yeah, like smoking, secondary smoking is worse.
Secondhand anger is worse. So let's talk about when we say worse, I mean, it's not just unpleasant. There was a book some years back called Anger Kills. It was written by a medical doctor and actually his wife. The two of them wrote it. I remember hearing them speak. And his point was that anger, as a way of life, as a habit, raises blood pressure. It contributes to heart disease. It lowers the immune system. And as I recall, it probably sets you up to make, if you have cancer, to make such things worse because your immune system, based on your psychology, is compromised.
Right.
So in a funny way, if you're always fighting the world, it sounds to me like there's a real good reason to learn how to overcome our anger.
Right. I know a friend of mine who overcame cancer through natural treatment, but one of the treatments she did was she had to forgive, not hold grudges, not be angry about the situations that made her that way. And she really did overcome cancer. And so it's part of a modality, I feel, definitely, because if we don't let go of these emotions, then it will affect our health. Because the soul, where all of these thoughts of anger and all grudges and all of these, the soul, it's the closest, the body is the closest. And if I'm holding these negative emotions inside, then the first thing that's going to get affected is the body.
Louise Hay would absolutely say that. She's got a whole bunch of symptoms that show up with various emotions that happen in our bodies. And so what I'm hearing is getting over anger, getting past anger, letting it dissolve, may be one of the most loving things we can do to our bodies.
Right. You know, and also what I was thinking is not only is that we is the most loving thing we can do to our bodies, but also it's the most loving thing we can do to the environment.
Ah, the environment of those around us as well as...
Yeah, right. And also, I was thinking in that form of secondhand or secondary anger yeah. where I am getting influenced by if someone else is getting angry.
Right.
I think the best way to deal with it is if I send good wishes and pure feelings.
Ah, that's nice. And not just to get that they understand how wrong they are, the good thing.
Or what we actually get into is we start getting into seeing their weaknesses and their defects. They just get very exaggerated.
Ah. So anger, in a funny way, is like the mirror in the fun house at the carnival. It accentuates certain things and makes them oh so much more.
Right.
So when I'm angry, I'm not seeing reality. I'm just seeing
exactly.
a distortion of reality.
Right. It's totally distorted. It's such an illusion that you don't see anything. There's nothing that you can hold your thing to. And so at that point, instead of really succumbing to that, to be able to send good wishes and pure feelings.
Right. Which, by the way, you made me think of when people are angry, then they'll try to gather their friends around the contagiousness of it. Let me just tell you what happened. And of course, we leave out our fault in anything like that.
Or their beauty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, on a personal basis, if we understand that dis-ease and disease have a pretty strong connection there.
Right, they do.
And we live healthier and happier if we're not living in a constant state of upheaval and anger. Then why do you suspect that so many people tune into television programs, radio programs, literature, books that make them angry?
I think it's just an addiction.
Ah. So feeding the surge, the adrenaline.
Yeah, and like any addiction, it loses its...
you need more.
You need more, and it loses its usefulness.
Yeah.
You know, it loses its... The way you were using it, it starts becoming... It starts using you.
Aha. So some of the symptoms then, because, of course, the mind's such a slippery thing, the ego runs around and says, it wasn't me, it was them. And avoids blame. So if we notice ourselves being sarcastic, I would imagine,
yeah.
that's a way of striking out.
Or just really
bitter.
Bitter. Uh-huh. Just I'm so silent and
resentful. The silent things, I'm not going to...
I'm holding grudges.
Ah, grudges. Yeah.
And also not forgiving.
Ah. So if we have people that we quietly resent or loudly resent, or if we have to hold back from striking out... then we're probably covering up anger to some
extent. Yeah, we are. And I feel that there is, in my book, because I've tried a few things, that there's only one way to get rid of that.
And that is?
And that is, we have to offer it to God. That I have to first say, no, I don't want this to play out in my life, and I want to offer it to God.
Do you think that's more effective than just getting drunk and trying to forget it?
A little bit more.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that very often our coping strategies, when we're in denial about our discomfort, our unhappiness with the world, with others, which may come down to with ourselves, that we cover it with alcohol, drugs, overeating, gambling, promiscuous sex, any number of things which really exacerbate, make the situation worse.
Right. So. Because I'm robbing myself of peace.
Uh-huh.
When I do these things, you know, I think, oh, I'm getting one up on the other person, but actually I'm robbing myself of peace.
So the real answer to overcoming anger is not even overcoming anger so much as having more peace in one's life.
Yeah, I feel that's why a meditation of changing thought patterns.
Yes.
Because if I change my thought patterns about anger, then I'm really able to overcome it.
Very good.
Because there is a thought pattern that goes into why I get angry. And if I change that, and then I'll be able to move past it. And so one of the ways is this, that I feed my mind love. I show my mind love. And the other way is that I offer it to God. Mm-hmm. And in offering it to God, I also start developing these good pure feelings for the whatever is the situation that is going on. And then there's another aspect to it. I feel if I know what's happened in the past, mm-hmm. what are the consequences, what I'm doing in the present, and what are the consequences of my anger in the future based on what's happened in the past, if I understand that continuum, then it's easy to overcome it.
So it's almost like if something doesn't change, we're going to end up where we're headed. I've been in this game before.
Exactly.
Actually, that working on the meditation and what is inside you has good basis in psychology, that we have the event, and we normally think, and there's the response, but in between that are our beliefs, our habits, our assumptions, and that filters everything that we experience.
Right, right.
So if traffic makes us angry, we'd say, of course it is. Look how slow it's moving. But if that were the case, everyone in traffic would be angry.
Exactly. Or even if everyone in the traffic is angry, that
doesn't mean
I have to be angry.
That sounds like what my parents would say. If every child has a new motorcycle, there's one child who's not going to get a motorcycle. But that particular thing is, just because other people act out doesn't mean I need to.
Yeah. This secondary anger of me being influenced by other people, that really is almost like an illusion that feeds so badly that before I know it, I lose my independence.
But, you know, for those of us that are parents, the lessons we're giving our kids on how to handle stress, I think, is reason enough to let go of the anger, to try to handle things from a loving standpoint.
Right, and I especially feel because of our kids, because they learn behavior from us.
Right.
And if we get angry, they get angry.
Right.
And so you see kids getting angry earlier and earlier these days, younger and younger, and so that habit is going to hold on for the rest of their lives.
So let's take the other side of that, though, because all of us adults are former children. How do we handle it when we have patterns in our family that has shown anger?
Really, meditation.
Meditation helps.
Meditation. And when I mean meditation, I'm not talking about a mantra here. I'm really talking about understanding the self, seeing the true self, and also understanding the thought pattern that's affecting it, and also having a close connection with God and making sure that I'm offering this negativity to God.
So are you...
That is, I'm not taking ownership of it.
Ah.
That it's not mine. I'm a pure soul.
Who it can let it flow past me, through
me.
I don't have to hold on to the negativity to protect myself.
The reality is actually that I am a pure soul.
Mm-hmm.
But anger and everything is like the muck that's on the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I take ownership of it, then I don't realize I'm the diamond, and I'm falling for the muck.
So what
but also the muck, I'm not letting the muck go away.
You're looking at the muck instead of the diamond that you are. So is all of this a way of forgiveness, or is forgiveness yet another piece of the...
Yeah, no, forgiveness is a totally different piece of this. Uh-huh. You know, like jealousy is a different piece of it, and I feel it's a total topic on its own.
Okay, so we'll pick up on other things with this. So if I know it's better for me not to be angry, am I really a victim of anger, or does it run up and get me like I had an anxiety attack, it attacked me? Does anger attack us and grab us, or is it just something we can let flow past us and through us?
If we train ourselves enough, then it will pass us. But it does take patience. We have to be very honest and very patient with ourselves.
So being honest and patient without loading up on I'm the scum of the earth kind of honesty. We're talking about...
It's a different kind of honesty. It's a kind of honesty that really looks at the self and looks at what is it that I can do to change.
So one of the things it seems to me that our society does is look at punishment as a way of rectification, of making things right. But I was thinking recently, I'm having a hard time thinking where in nature punishment shows up. they're natural consequences.
They are.
And animals will, snap at another animal if they're eating their food or something. But what I don't think they come back the next day to punish them. And I'm wondering if our natural state is one of joy and harmony, but somehow we get contorted and distorted in this fun house of looking at the exaggerations of why we're unhappy.
Right, and especially exaggerations of the other people's weaknesses or defects or their behavior that's making me unhappy.
Right.
I feel, you're right, that there is a sense of, when we have the habit of getting angry, we use everything around us.
Ah, that's right. We totally justify it. So can we think that anger is never totally justified, at least other than the surge we get if we stub our toe?
Even then.
We can stub our toe and go, whoa. So within that, though, can we say we will never get angry again?
I don't know if it's that quick. It might take time, but definitely we can start working towards it.
So the game, at least for most of us, isn't to never feel the surge of pangs of anger, but maybe decrease our recovery time to less and less time, to where we might stub our toe, but 2 seconds later we go, whew, I'm sorry I did that.
Or even actually just be aware of it.
Ah, just be aware of it without judging.
And just watch yourself, as a detached observer, watch yourself.
Good.
Without taking ownership of it. It's not my anger.
Yeah.
It's anger and it's out there.
Ah. So within that, if there's one last seed of truth you'd share, what might that be?
I think with a relationship with God, anything is possible. But also only with a really sustained connection with a higher power is something like overcoming anger possible.
So it really is our spiritual self when it comes down to it. And probably having a community, our church or friends we trust.
Right, or people who really want to overcome it. You don't want to associate yourself with people who think anger is okay.
Right. Well, good. After all, it is a mutual support network wherever we are. Thanks, Shireen.
Thanks, Ben.